I'm gonna let them see God, Jehovah's will all over me. And they ain't nothing they can do with that, baby.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial and community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Chi Miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island and beyond. This is Deanna Standing Cloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle?
Time just at me and say it with your chest. Last time I saw you, you couldn't see less. You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Well, you act like my ex got a lot to address. How am I pretending Resi when I'm booked on the red? How am I pretending and blood quantums in the red? Got a travel ID if you wanna act like the feds. Supposed to be a good relative, let me show you what that is.
Happy Friday. Welcome to Medicine Bundle. I'm your host, Deanna Standing Cloud. Happy March to you. 2026 is moving right along, isn't it? And I just celebrated my daughter's birthday. I named her Ziguan, in the spirit of the earth waking back up in this time of year. So her due date was March 21st, which everyone, it's commonly known that it is the spring equinox. So what that means is on March 21st, there is an equal amount of dark nighttime and there's an equal amount of daytime, so it's the same. So that's the equinox. So, and it also marks the return of spring, so the spring equinox. So I'm looking forward to the spring, and I thought I could use our time together here today on Medicine Bundle to chat about a traditional practice that we have as Anishinaabe people, and it really ties into the whole experience of wellness, and it's all encompassing. When we think about wellness and we think about spiritual health, spiritual hygiene, and when we talk about like physical well-being and physical fitness, as well as just being connected to the earth, as well as being connected to one another. So I feel like this way of life, this cultural, this huge cultural piece of our of who we are as Anishinaabe, is something that happens during the spring, and it's very set on the weather, and it kind of creeps up on us a little bit fast these days, post colonization. Here in Minnesota, Makoche, it kind of creeps up on us. So we have spring. It crept up on me. And so the weather, in order for this to happen, is really cold at night and then above freezing during the day. So that's when maple sap flows in the trees. So we have a few different varieties here of maple trees in Minnesota, and it has been practiced for hundreds and hundreds of years. And there's even a story that I am familiarizing myself with that is surrounding the Iski Gummi Zige. Gawin is the sugar bush. So if you have been blessed enough to experience the sugar bush, it is an ancient practice. And we're going to get kind of into a lot of the, you know, how nutritional it is, and how versatile it is. And but first, I want to actually just tell the story. I'm practicing, you know, as much as I can to learn traditional stories and be able to articulate them to others. So, and I've been doing that a lot with my daughter. So, and she was very really intrigued, and she really wanted to hear the story. We read this story twice. I actually have it in a book format. I'm going to go ahead and try to just tell the story with my memory, because in Anishinaabe culture and our ways is, you know, we have our oral history, but we transmit that history, you know, with our stories. And I mean, we had recorded birch bark scrolls, and those I've seen a few in my life, and I know about them a little bit. And that's kind of how we captured things written, you know, like documented in that way. But it wasn't everything. And we had to really use our minds and our brains and our memories to recall these stories. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you the story. I'm really excited. I'm hoping that I'll remember it all. But it all took place a long time ago. Gete, you know, back in the day. Gete Miweja, Gichi Miweja. So a long time ago, the Anishinaabe, and when we say Anishinaabe, we kind of use that term interchangeably for human beings. They were living upon the earth, and one winter, they got really hungry. You know, there wasn't a lot of food, and they were just getting to spring, and they were hungry. And our trickster, Nana Buju, our spiritual hero, he's, you know, one of our epic legendary heroes. He saw that the Anishinaabe were struggling. You know, he he was worried, and he saw that they were hungry and getting sick, you know, with malnutrition, sicknesses can come. So what he did was he went into the woods and he decided to ask the spirits for some guidance. You know, he went and fasted, and he, you know, was smoking his, I don't know if he was smoking his pipe, he was praying, you know, he was praying to the spirits for guidance to help. And then he had a vision, and in that vision, there was a man, and the man, you know, came up to Nandabuju, and he was very concerned for Anishinaabe people. And he said, you know, I will sacrifice my body for the Anishinaabe so that they can eat, so that they can have sustenance and continue to live and not be hungry. And, you know, Nandabuju, you know, he's like, I don't, you know, he actually had an axe, and he's like, you can have the blood of me to give to Anishinaabe people. And he was a little shook, you know, he was like, okay, that's, when we got to this part of the story, he was like, oh God, that's, that's the axe and the body. But in this dream, he shapeshifted into a tree. So Nandabuju woke up from that vision, and you know, he showed the Anishinaabe that the tree that he saw in his dream, and he brought them there, and they he used a hammer, and he cut the tree, and from the tree, this beautiful dark liquid came out of the tree, and a little bit got on, you know, on his hand, and they tasted it, and it was delicious. It was delicious, and you know, he knew that this would give them life, the Anishinaabe life. So the Anishinaabe had a food source, and they tasted it, and it was really good, and man, they were saved by this tree with this golden liquid, this gold, liquid gold is what I, let's call it that. Let's call it liquid gold. So they were saved. They were saved that winter, and they had the sustenance. And so Nandabuju was like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, like, my work is done here for now. You know, I had a vision, and I'm glad that I could have helped the Anishinaabe. So he took off, you know, he had people to see and animals to hook up with, and like, he had stuff to do, you know, Nandabuju, you know how he does. So he took off, and the Anishinaabe stayed there. But instead of like being, you know, industrious like they usually are, didn't do that. So when Nandabuju came back in the summertime, you know, he wanted to come back and check on them. He was kind of, you know, wanted to see what was going on with the people. So he came back, and he came to the village, and he didn't see anything going on. It was quiet. There was nothing going on. He's looking around. He's like, where is everybody? What's going on? You know, and he didn't really hear anything either. So he was kind of looking around, and he just set off looking for everybody. And he finally got to the grove of maple trees in the woods. And here, those Anishinaabes were laying on their backs underneath the tree with the liquid gold. And their mouths were wide open. And they were just letting it flow freely. And they were fat, and they were lazy, and they had done nothing to prepare for the coming year. They weren't fishing or picking any berries. It was just the liquid gold. They were like so fixated on the liquid gold. It was so good that they just didn't even take a break from consuming it. It was just that good. And so Nandabuju was like, what? what is going on? This is not what I intended for that, you know, for you guys to be not doing what your job. And so what he did was like, what can I do? What can I do to help them again out of another pickle that they're in? Because Anishinaabe people, we're very pitiful. We're vulnerable. We really rely on the earth for us to live. So we're really, although we're, you know, we're spiritually connected and we're powerful and things like that, we're human beings. And human beings, we are very delicate and pitiful without any of the elements, animals, trees, air, fire, we would be nothing. So we're really, we're pitiful. So what Nana Buju was problem solving in his own crazy brain, what he did was he shapeshifted into a big rain cloud. Because he could do that. Nana Buju can do all kinds of stuff like that. So he shapeshifted into a rain cloud with lots and lots of precipitation, and he made it rain on that, on all those maple trees. And what the rain had done was dilute the liquid gold within the trees. And so even though they started to, you know, it was diluted and it started to get in their mouths and they were, it wasn't as tasty. You know, it was more like a flavored water. So if you've ever tasted maple sap from a maple sugar tree, and it's clear, it's thin, it's tasty, but it's not thick. So that's what they were tasting, and it was different because before it was in its final form as syrup. Thick and almost like honey, but better. No shade to the girl bees that make honey. No shade. It's not. I mean, it's delicious. me and the girl bees got love, but it was diluted, so it was like flavored water. And so the Anishinaabe like got up, you know, because it's like, well, I mean, it's good, but it's just kind of. So from then on, in order for them to get the final product of having the syrup and in the thick liquid gold form, they had to work for it. And that's what you see today in the sugar bush. And that's the tradition that has been upheld for hundreds and hundreds of years in wherever there's sugar bush, wherever there's Anishinaabe, Dakota and Ho-Chunk people as well in this area, collected sugar bush, you know, or maple syrup, maple sap. But the process now is it takes planning, it takes cooperation, it takes offering a sema, it takes tools. It takes a lot of your work, you know, a lot of work and a lot of actual physical fitness too, because you're going to be hauling gallons and gallons of liquid. You're going to be hauling wood. You're going to be chopping wood. You're going to be making fires. You have to kind of take shifts and stay up with the syrup and watch it. There's a lot of waiting. So in that process of boiling down the sap, there has to be a community, and everyone has to help. Everyone has to pitch in. And I think that's one of the beautiful things that I think is so amazing within our Anishinaabe culture, is that not one of us has the whole entire teachings. We don't have like gurus that we go to sit at their feet and like do that. We have our community, and everyone has a piece of the teachings. So that is exactly one of the things that is really, I love sharing that piece of information, because it's beautiful. It's beautiful that we all have a piece of something. So, so that's the story. And I read it off the top of my head. But I'm so thankful that you got to listen to it, and I got to remember a little bit of it, but that's the story. I'm actually going to share that story on some of my social media accounts, just so that I can recall the story again. Thank you guys for listening. You know what? What we're going to do is we're going to play just some jams, man, because it's springtime, you know? I love the springtime, and we're going to celebrate spring in Minnesota, Makoche. Ho-wa. You are listening to Medicine Bundle, and this is your host, Deanna Standing Cloud.
They don't look like Indians to me. And they don't look like the Indians. Now, maybe we say politically correct or not politically correct. They don't look like Indians to me.
Wasagizic, ambition to cause, wanna booze you and don't aim. Unishin' up with Kaga, Minder, Bimmy, Dizzy, Win, the Schwassway. You can become, Mashka, Zibi, get you, got me, you get you, die. Need to not get shit, 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 my, Majigi, Shawa Bay. Same lane in the lane, been laying to get to the ring and forget what they claiming. Now I'm saying, blah, man, that never win, bro. Man, where can we going, flowing? The way that we rolling, golden. I dig a wob, I mean, going the flow, so Jimway mowing. Naja Junior, Naja Junior, Anisha, say you wanna booze you. Get you, Kinder, get you, money, do Gagi beat it, Nagi Duna. Taking the statement, lie with a record if you wanna be basic. No time for haters, but it's signs of mine when it's done in each old decade.
And I, oh my, get you, they know, me show me some piggish. In this in a drum, ne me no a yard, go me no a, jikendum, ne bug it in the same odd way gun. You know the wa, ga wim get dog, you can't it ma, gish bin, bizin, don, zik. You get your da money do, me no wa, ma day and any, eje bak we wabu. Money dog, we do kawa shin, on the shanabe, young guam is in, ne dago shin. Ekedo iskode ojebwe mo ne iskwa taga wingego.
Uju anina, digin the cars where I be. I'm from the urban concrete jungles where the stories be running deep. A different vibe, a different style, that's how they know that we unique. And making Nike, that's a turtle, that's the clan, don't play with me. And I will tell you to your face, so don't you come and lie to me. Cause I will tell you face to face, cause I don't play no hide and seek. And if they say that I don't look native, then say goodbye to me. Cause I would look the other way, cause I hate it when they lie to me. They don't look native to me, well everything ain't what it seems. Y'all killing our people and killing our dreams with all the lies that you lead. You should be down to your knees begging to me, cause this is the land of the free. So how can it be that you're talking to me about getting the peace without paying the fee?
Yeah! There's always something new to discover at the Science Museum of Minnesota. Skin, living armor, evolving identity invites visitors to explore the science of skin through rare specimens and interactive displays. Then, journey back in time with T-Rex on the Omni Theater's towering screen. Plan your visit at smm.org.
Concerned about colon cancer? You can take steps to protect yourself. It's recommended to get your first colonoscopy at age 45 or older. Colon cancer often has no warning signs, especially in its early stages. Minji Digestive Health can help. A Minji colonoscopy is a test that detects and can help prevent colon cancer. When cancer is caught in its early stages, it's most treatable and most beatable. You can learn more about the PrEP, procedure, scheduling, and their compassionate care team at mngi.com. That's mngi.com.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting Cass McCombs at the Turf Club Monday, March 30th. Singer-songwriter Cass McCombs is touring with his latest album, Interior Live Oak, a rock and soul release of dreamscape music anchored by metaphor-laced lyrics. From cryptic imagery to confessional heartbreak, Cass McCombs has the ability to be intimate and mysterious at the same time. Opening the show is Chris Cohen. More information about Cass McCombs at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com.
Hey, you're listening to Dallas Goldtooth on the Medicine Bundle on KFAI 90.3.
Bougie, welcome back to Medicine Bundle. This is Deanna Standing Cloud. Welcome to spring. Springtime. Skigamizikon. So yeah, it is the springtime, and I wanted to just talk about sugarbush. I know here in the Twin Cities, Porky Sugarbush is one of the accessible sugarbush camps that we can attend and just like during the day. Because we're, city Indians and we're off res, we have to be creative about being among, on the earth and doing cultural things like sugarbush and things like that. So on March 8th, which is a Sunday, that is when the Porky Sugarbush will have their opening ceremony. The weather in the Twin Cities has been cold during the evening and warm during the day. So if you've been out and about, you may have heard the birds singing in the area. And so that is the perfect time for the sugar bush and the sap to flow. So we're excited here in Minnesota Makoche. There's a lot happening in the world and a lot of heavy things. And I feel really hopeful and it's really good to reflect on these teachings in these cultural ways because they have survived so many things. And for us to be able to have access to the language and culture is really such a special gift. And it's things that our ancestors ways that they would have thought and ways that they would have done things. So I know there's some evolutionary things that happen within the sugarbush camps, using tools and things like that. I was just watching a video and they were tapping trees, some chinabs up in Canada. I'm not exactly sure where it was, but they had the birch bark baskets and they're collecting the baskets. And then they had a little like wooden thing, like a thing that went kind of behind your neck and you would put your arms up on that. And that's how you would carry two buckets at a time, two birch bark buckets full of sap at a time through the woods and onto where the sap was being boiled down. So because it could be, you know, when you have Sugarbush Camp, a lot of those trees can be a little bit far off from where the actual fire is happening. So you have to do a lot of traveling within that area and bring sap back. And we know if you've ever worked with sap or carried water for a sweat or just carried buckets of water in general, you know that liquid weighs a lot. A lot. So when you're traveling with that, it's you have to be kind of in top physical, you know, top physical health in order to move about in the maple groves. So yeah, and it's all about wellness. You know, it's like our people had these practices, and it kind of got us out of our rut for being in the winter. And, you know, we had a lot of wood chopping that we had to do, or finding dead wood in the woods, and had the kids, you know, and making the kids do some of that stuff with you. You know, everyone has to help because it's such a huge task to, you know, to get to a point where you can have sugar and sprinkle it on your wild rice or something. So everyone had to help. And that kept us communicating with one another, and that kept us really being aware of our environment. So if we, you know, we're in a sugarbush camp, we have to be aware and listen. And it was very scientific, because it's like if we had to pay attention to temperature and just the world around us. It really had us tap in to the natural world and kind of listen to ourselves and our heart and one another, and really appreciate the nutritional value after so much work to get some of that sugar. Oh gosh, it's almost, you know, it's like this amazing celebration when you have that sugar, and it's like so much work went into that. So it's such a beautiful thing to be Anishinaabe. I'm going to read a little bit from a book about boiling sap, and it's come from Chimiweja Ojibwe Stories from Leech Lake. They've asked me to talk about sugarbush. I used to boil sap too. My mom too used to boil sap. We used to boil sap sometimes. What I'm talking about is when my mom going around tapping trees. That is what I'm doing now. The white people here do it a different way. When they tap the trees, they use an axe. The Indians made everything like taps is what the Indians did. Everyone does it differently nowadays. We use these birch bark boxes when they were sugaring. They collect sap in the morning and collect the water. These pails they use are called okadakikun, a kettle with legs. The pails my mother used to have. I don't see them anymore. Anyways, things are done differently now. They tap trees, put all the sap into one kettle, and it's boiled. And this here, in this picture, they are also going around collecting sap. We used to go around collecting sap early in the morning. When it rained, we'd go dump it out. You shouldn't use the water in there when it rained. And it was so dumped out, only the sticks. And when they are boiling it, and here they are showing me cedar boughs, having cedar boughs and using them. The reason they are using the cedar boughs is if the sap should boil over. Only then do they use cedar boughs when the sugar is boiling over. When it's halfway done, they don't use them anymore. They make a little wooden paddle out of the stick. Then they stir the sugar. They knew how much they would want to cook it down when they made sugar, or when they made those little sugar cakes and maple sugar. My mom and them used to throw butter into the kettle while they were cooking the sugar. When we made sugar, they'd make these little wooden containers. When they were finished, the sugar cakes and syrup. We knew how much snow to get when the sugar is the right consistency. We used snow until it got done. Also, you shouldn't burn it. You shouldn't burn it. We knew how much to cook it when we wanted to make something. It was a lot of work. Hardly anyone does that anymore. The white people have made all the things to make it easy. They think it should be easy. But the Indians used to work really hard. They also used to live around here. They call it Iski Gamizikan, or sugar camp. This is where they stored all their tools when they make sugar again for the next sugar season. They call this Iski Gamizikan, or sugar camp. When they grow up, they'll do the same thing and use the same things the Indians used to live around here when they were boiling sap. They made a lot of sugar, sugar syrup, and sugar cakes. So that's all I know about maple sugar. And I've read from this book before. So if it sounds a little funky in English, it's because it's translated from Ojibwe to English. So that's why it sounds like it doesn't sound right in English, if that makes sense. I should have read it in Ojibwe, but I'm still learning, even at my age. But yeah, so that's Sugar Bush. And I will share some informative YouTube videos and things like that during our hour together. If you have any questions, or if you are curious about cultural stuff, feel free to reach out to me on my socials. I think it helps me, helps my own spirit to be helpful in that way and to be asked things. You know, I still am learning a lot. I have never been hunting before. I would love to go hunting. I've never been ricing before. So if anyone wants to take me ricing, that would be great. It's just like as a city Indian, as someone who born, raised, and, you know, gave birth to their babies here in the city, it's a different experience. But honestly, like, I'm thankful for that experience. And I was just at the Dakota and Ojibwe Language Symposium in Lower Sioux, hosted by Minnesota Humanities Center, as well as the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. And I was in a workshop where a young man, he was super proud to be from the city. And, you know, we get a lot of grief sometimes as city Indians, quote unquote. And, you know, we get a lot of teasing and things, but it's hard because we have a longing to be, you know, in community, and we have a longing to be with the land. We have a longing to not be followed by cops. We have a longing to see other Indians a lot, you know, like, but here in the city, it's different. Some people don't think twice about Native people in the city. But there's a lot of conscious people learning more. And so, yeah, but he really embraced being a city Indian. And I was like, I want to embrace it too. You know, this is who I am. I'm not going to fake the funk and pretend that I'm all extra tradish, but because I'm not. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to learn as much as I can. I have never been ricing. I've never been hunting before. I've been to Sugar Bush. I haven't, like, developed a whole Sugar Bush by myself. You know, I want to learn a lot of things. And I, you know, even though I'm older, I would love to still learn all those things. So, you know, as Native people with city Indians, and like the dynamic between the two, we just have to honor each other, and we have to be able to be open to all of our perspectives. Because like I said at the beginning of this show or the hour, that we all have something. We all carry a piece of the teachings. We all have something to contribute. And it's not up to us who's going to contribute or not. It's just kind of like we have to let it go and be open to teachings from young people. And so, yeah, that's where I'm at these days. But that's what was on my heart and was on my mind. So, yeah. It's good to have you listening on a Friday. And I was also going to mention earlier this week, I woke up. It was a little after six. Opened the shades. I don't know. It's like one of those things. I just opened the shades, even though it's kind of dark out still. And it was thick fog. Thick fog. And it stayed like that until almost noon that day. It was Wednesday this week. And a cultural teaching about that day is like late February, early March. There's a day where it's foggy. And that's the day that you know that the baby cubs, the makunts, were born. Because on a foggy day, the little cubs are born because their eyes, it's too bright for their eyes. So the creator makes it nice and foggy so that it's not so hard for them when they get born and their eyes are exposed to light. I thought that was really cool. And I just want to, you know, default back to all of our teachings, all of the stories in these difficult times, because it makes me feel connected. It makes me feel, you know, looked after, because there was so much thought in passing on these stories to future generations. And for us, even in 2026, to be able to tell these stories and still do and practice our culture is really something. I mean, this, you know, it's really something. Like, our culture was totally illegal. And it's just all this. The stuff or the colonization that's happened here on Turtle Island, and for us to still be able to like sugarbush and talk about Nana Buju and our stories, it's really something. Like, we are built seriously really in this good way, and our spirits are strong, and our connection to one another is good. And I know that we have a lot of things that we're dealing with. And I was just writing something about lateral violence and like how lateral violence is like, it hurts us so much because I feel like we have like a genetic longing to be in community. So like when someone hurts us, like in a community setting, it kind of pulls the rug out from under us. So I was just thinking about that, you know. That's just natives in general. You don't have to be from the city. You can be totally from the res to experience lateral violence. But yeah, so happy spring to you guys, men. Let me know how you celebrate spring. Hit me up. I'm trying to be spend more time visiting and being in community as much as I can. Although I'm kind of like turning inward and like taking care of myself, doing stuff that I should have done for myself a long time ago. So a lot of that time is invested in me and my kids. But I'm trying to. So if you have any questions or want to share your favorite memory of sugar bushing, or just your favorite spring memory, or what you look forward to in spring, please let me know. Get on my socials, just let me know. And if you want to be a guest, and if you have something that you want to share, if you are... I know that there's some cool stuff with food trucks happening. I know there's a wellness. Red Lake is opening a new wellness center. I know Native Care is like opening a new dispensary in St. Paul. There's like cool things happening. I'm actually going to participate at the Indian Land Tenure Foundation conference. So I'm going to host that. So there's cool things happening. There's a powwow on Sunday. So in 2 days, March 8th, that's why I'm not going to be able to go to Porky Sugarbush, is because I will be at the John Bobolink honoring John Bobbling Powwow, and that will be at Johnson High School in St. Paul. And I will be co-emceeing with the legendary Jerry Dearley and our arena director, Norman Benson, his name is. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy to work with. And if you're listening to this and you are interested in becoming a powwow MC, man, I almost was thinking I should do like a workshop in the community for youth, for girls, or just anyone who is interested in emceeing a powwow, because I think it's time to bring some new blood into the arena, into the announcer stand. If you're ever, like, if you had the slightest inkling to become a powwow MC, let me know, man. Let's do this. If there's an interest for, like, a workshop, let me know that, too. I'm not sure. I just got to gauge interest. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I think that would be fun. Like, we could do, like, little, like, powwow MC boot camp. No. I'm just kidding. I don't know. That would be kind of scary. They'd bring us a bunch of food and fry bread and stuff. But yeah, I want to retire from that scene. I would love to mentor somebody and have them do it. I really want to retire. I want to retire. I know you, like, MC guys are older, but I don't know. I mean, I could come out of retirement if I wanted to, but yeah, I want to pass it on, you know? I don't feel like I'm good at it sometimes. Because I didn't grow up in the powwow scene. Like, I went to powwows. I was there, and I'd walk around and try to snag. That's really the extent. I didn't really have anyone, you know. I didn't have regalia. I wasn't, you know, we didn't sing. We didn't travel or sell anything or, you know, because there's a culture. There's a, you know, a culture that goes along with powwowing. There's a powwow network per se. But yeah, so if you're interested, let me know. We're going to take a quick music break and I'll be back. Soon, you're listening to Medicine Bundle. For Indigenous Woodlands people in Minnesota, the last days of winter brings an exciting time. For centuries, the Sugarbush Camp marked the first days of spring and a reconnection to the broader community. Historically, Ojibwe people would move from their winter camp to the spring camp. The purpose of the spring camp was to focus on creating maple sugar together as a community. This rich cultural tradition brings people together even today.
I live in Duluth, Minnesota. I didn't grow up doing sugarbush, but when I had my daughters, I really pushed myself even further to ensure that they knew these things as they're growing up, as it was just like a part of their life.
Nicole Nealon is known to her Ojibwe relatives as Gagige Gijigukwe. She's intentionally passing the teachings of the Sugarbush Camp and other treasured cultural practices to her young daughters.
She did several taps by herself and got the buckets ready, and then they just checked every day after school.
Nicole says that some folks in her own neighborhood tap trees right on the city streets. The city of Duluth permits its residents to tap maple sap from city trees. Even among the concrete streets of Minneapolis, Native-led organizations like the Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, has programming focusing on traditional foods. Gloria Acano is the food sovereignty manager with NACDI. Their organization puts taps on trees around the East Phillips neighborhood in South Minneapolis.
So we worked with the park board to borrow some equipment, like they have a 55-gallon drum stove. that with the pans on the top that can boil the sap down into syrup. So we've been doing like a few community boil activities at our urban farm.
Both Minneapolis and Duluth have high populations of Ojibwe people. Native community organizations in those areas promote traditional activities like the sugar bush to the Native community members as a way for urban people to practice their own cultural activities in modern times. The teachings and practice of the sugar bush has endured colonization, deforestation, and climate change here in Minnesota. For Minnesota Native News, I'm Deanna Standing Cloud.
Yo, this song is dedicated to all the colonizers who told me I'd never amount to nothing. To all the police spraying mace in my face when I was on the front lines trying to protect our water. And all the Koiwuk in the struggle, know what I'm saying? It's all good, Nija Nije. It was all a dream. We'd be tapping maple sugar trees, kicking back with creation stories, tanning hides in the fall. Every single day we give back, place a back with prayers for all. I let my rice rock till my rice pop, smoking pipe for Monty Dew, sipping from cup of pot. Way back when I had to set all those rabbit traps. Where my wigwas at? Remember Monty Dew? The stars, you never thought a Sama would take it this far. Now I'm in the moonlight cause I braid tight. Time to get sage, blow up like Ishko Day. Born leader, the opposite of a quitter. Remember when I used to eat moose meat for dinner? Piece of Ida D, Donna G, my auntie. Cattail mats in my wigwam mitt. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Hit the lodge, same teacher, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, Native. I made the change from Abenuji to up close and personal with all the chiefs, and I'm far from cheap. Smoke fish with my moms all day, spread love the Shinabe way. All that bear grease keeps me greasy. A ninny used to diss me, now they biting birch bread cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this Ojibwe stuff. I was too used to boarding schools and stuff. Stir my rice on the fire for a real nice toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast, Shinabe cuisine, cedar for weeks. All the young ones listen while the elders speak. Living life without fear, putting mag pro work in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, chilling in my canoe. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of Flandreau. Stereotypes of a Native woman misunderstood, and it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know, Native. And Donis and Negosis. When I was on the res, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch quilt sings a song with my ninga. Got two hides on my side, feeling ninja. Ribbon skirt stuff about 2G's flat. No need to worry, my noko handles that. And my whole clan is lounging, celebrating every day, no more HUD housing. Creeping back on my trapline traps. Now my mom pimps an act with minks on her back. And she loves the harvest rice, of course. Pray to Mother Earth for another resource. We used to fuss when the white man dissed us. No meat, wonder why the treaties missed us. School days was the worst days. Now we sit knee beach when we thirsty. Damn right I love the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive, and it's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, Native.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio.
That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and online at kfai.org.
And you're listening too.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake Best Of.
Hallucination.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They are going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings.